So, thanks for being here. yeah, you're welcome. Thank you. I love it. So, I've been praying about our kingdom character and just been asking Jesus to reveal some stuff. I even did a Facebook Live today. I don't know if you guys saw it. Just asking people, I just want to know what you think. What are some characteristics? Because I've just been sitting with God. You know, I've been going through some of the scripture, of course, and just really kind of asking God to stretch us beyond what we understand or give us a deeper revelation of what you mean by what you're saying in the scripture about different things, different characteristics, you know, but really how that plays out into actual character, like how we display Jesus. And so a couple of them have stood out to me, and one that I wanted to share with you tonight is honesty. So we're like, yeah, that's Jesus, right? I mean, you know, Satan's the father of lies, so even a half-truth is still a lie, so God is truth, and he named Jesus the way, the truth, and the life with a capital T, right? So truths is supposed to be, okay, so we're truthful, full of truth. What's honesty? Like, okay, let's just think about honesty for a minute. It's going to be really simple. It's a real simple teaching, but I asked the Lord to go a little deeper. So follow me here. I hope I'll make sense as I get to the end. But so when I think of honesty, I think the opposite is deception, right? Or lies, honesty. So what does honesty look like? Or what does a lie look like? Well, it's pretty plain and clear in the scripture that... Well, let me back up a second. I'm going to read this verse real quick. Let's see. Colossians. Let's read some scripture first. So I looked up the word lie, and in my NASB translation, New American Standard, there's just a few that popped up. Let's see. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. So a lie is an evil practice. Okay, we know in, starting in Leviticus, let me get my little thing here going. Leviticus 19:11, you shall not steal or deal falsely nor lie to one another. It is one of the Ten Commandments, so God takes it pretty seriously. So we could kind of end the message right there, right? We could be like, don't lie, tell the truth, okay? That seems pretty basic, seems pretty simple. Let's see, some more scripture. I'm looking up Titus 1:2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. So God cannot lie, like it is impossible. He's not a man that he would lie, you know, another verse says. So we know that there is no deception in God. He cannot lie, like it's impossible for him to. Okay, that's huge, actually. Revelation 14:5. This is talking about those who are in the cloud of witnesses, those who overcome. There was no lie found in their mouth. They're blameless. Okay, so to not lie or have a lie in your mouth actually also equals to be blameless, to have no blame. I think that's a good word. Let's just ponder that for a second, that we can't be blamed for anything when there's no lie in our mouth, right? So my phrase for me is, I want to learn how to live above reproach, that there's not a lie in my mouth, but I also can't be blamed for anything because my character is clean, right? Clean hands, clean heart, okay? So think about that. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who tells lies will not escape. Okay. Let's see. So those are the ones I highlighted for the word lie. But when I look up honest or honesty, let's see, which one is this? Honest. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. The integrity of the upright. So that word integrity is also associated with honesty. Let's think about what is integrity. My definition is again, bless you, blameless, above reproach. If you have know someone who has integrity, they're not just honest, but my word is that they will actually do what they say they're going to do. Because, you know, if you don't, then it's a lie, right? But integrity is honest. It, to me, it's about action on many levels, right? It's not just the words, but it's how you carry yourself. When you're a person of integrity, that means you're also trusted. You're trustworthy. Why? Because there's no deception in you, right? So I just want you to hear these other words that can represent honesty versus lies or deception. When I looked up the word, cancel and go back. Honesty. Okay. Here's some other scripture. Let's see. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, "For we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." So honorable is also associated with honesty, to be honorable. Let's see. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Bam. Drop the mic, right? Like, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. So when you deal faithfully, you deal consistently, you don't show bias, right? We don't have unmeasured scale, unequally weighted scales, right? When they talk about that in scripture, if you're going to sell something, we're not going to cheat out people or overcharge unnecessarily, right? We're not. There's no deception, no lie. But that also means then to be faithful. Let's see. The next scripture, Hebrews 13:18. "Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a good conscience, desiring to conduct ourselves honorably in all things." So again, there's honorably, and it's associated with conduct, not just words. And Luke 6:31. "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." So, golden rule, again, about action. But that's another word that showed up for honesty. So I just want us to think about that. And I could stop that message just right there, and we can go, okay, don't tell a lie. Let's just be honest all the time. So I'm going to ask you, why would it be hard to be honest? It can be hurtful. Okay, now that's a biggie, okay? Because we talk about telling little white lies or not telling the whole truth or just kind of keeping things to ourselves because we think it will be hurtful to tell the truth sometimes. That's a really good point. So let's stretch that one out a little bit. Thank you for that. I'm gonna stay on that for just a minute. I don't want to jump too far ahead. When it comes to relationships, and I think it's important that we are honest, that we, obviously, that we tell the truth to people, but because there is sometimes the motivation of fear or shame or protection, we think it looks like love to not say something to somebody because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, okay? I'm not saying hurt people's feelings on purpose. And I do think you have to take care when and what you say to people. So I'm going to flesh this out a little bit because I want you to understand it. In relationship, if we don't tell the truth, we're really not loving somebody. Okay? At the same time, you need to have an understanding of when it's okay to say something and when not to also. That's why it's so important that we hear and discern from the Lord. Timing matters. Sometimes we are in people's business that we shouldn't be in. It does say that in scripture somewhere. Mind your own business. Okay? However, sometimes it is your business to say something. Okay? But if I, as you build relationship with somebody, let's start there. Okay? I think to be honest means that I have the ability to be vulnerable. Okay? It's about being authentic. It's about being open. When we talk about honesty, we tend to talk about honesty and openness going hand in hand, right? That there's no hiding of anything. There's no deception, no hiding, no keeping from, but I am open and honest. I am transparent, okay? Now, I'm only going to give access to people to everything in my heart and my life, though, as you have, quote, earned it on some level. Like, I need to have healthy boundaries and filters. I'm not going to give everybody access to every place in my heart, because that means you have to build trust and relationship. So that is normal and healthy. Remember to have healthy boundaries, to be able to discern, can I really trust you with everything in my heart? If I lay myself way and open and am vulnerable to everyone all the time, then I am going to be wounded a lot. Okay? So it is healthy. There is a scripture that says, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life itself, right? We have a guardian part of our heart, that it is important that we learn how to do that. It does not mean that we shut down and live behind walls and masks and put on fake faces and keep people at a distance. That's not living authentically. It's also not good for us to live wide open and so much so that everybody has access to everything in my heart. That's not healthy either. Why? Because then I'm not really treasuring me and having value for me in my heart. Okay, so we teach people how to treat us by what we let them get away with, right? So I'm gonna learn how to measure my own heart and access to my own heart. But it is healthy for us to learn how to have a filter. I call it the truth filter. It's like a screen on the window. It lets the bugs come in. Lets the air come in and out, but keeps the bugs out. Let me say that right. Okay, so it's okay to screen. Okay, but I think to be honest is to be transparent, vulnerable, and open, which means I want to assume the best out of people. I'm not going to stay guarded, but I am going to temper, as we grow in relationship, your ability to get closer or have greater access to me. Intimacy, by definition, is into me you see. Okay, so I want to be able to grow in such a place where we have deep relationship. Openness and honesty, transparency means we have a level of emotional intimacy and connection where I share my life with you, you share your life with me, we share our hurts and our struggles with one another, and we pray for each other. So long as we are able to be honest and honorable and have no deception within us, then it is going to be easier and safer for me to do that, for you to do that, right? Okay, so to be honest, to be open, is to be able to allow people to have access, which is a risk. It is a risk. Okay? John Wimber said that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So he was talking about praying for people, but at the same time, it applies here. It is a risk. It takes a little bit of faith. Okay, to be able to step out, to be able to open up, to be able to give people access. But that is about being honest. So I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not putting on a front. I'm not pretending to be somebody that I'm not. Okay, I'm going to be true to me and a true representation of my identity with you. There's no deception if I'm honest. Okay, right? So one of the ways that we grow in the character of honesty is learning how to be transparent and trying to be open with people. We want to increase our ability to be free, to be open. John 8:36 says, if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed, right? So you're free to be you. You're free to be you. Now, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to reject you and do all kinds of, you know, attempt damage, if you will. That's a whole other talk, okay? But we are going to grow in character by being able to be trustworthy, honorable, open, honest, transparent, no deception, no hiding. But that also means that we have to know how to reveal our own heart so that we can be authentic and open and allow people to speak into our life. Yes. Hold on. Let me give you the mic.
I think one thing we have to be careful about is knowing the difference between honesty and opinion. When a person has an opinion versus honesty.
Tell me more.
Well, you know, I could maybe say to Catherine something that's my opinion and not necessarily a truth or how God sees someone. So I have to make sure it's not coming from a personal opinion that I have versus the character of God.
Yes, I agree. And we will expand on that a little bit later. But that's absolutely true. We have to filter our heart. We have to be able to filter to know not only what comes out of our mouth has to be truth, but also what comes into our heart. That's the screen, the filter, right? So it's true. I think it's okay in relationship for us to share our opinions, but you certainly don't have to take them. Okay? As long as we say it that way. You're not going to say, thus saith the Lord, you know, kind of a thing. But we have to, let me boil that down. We are responsible for the condition of our own heart. Bottom line. I'm responsible for the condition of my own heart. Okay? So I could point blame, I could try to blame, but at the end of the day, either I become offended, right? Doesn't mean we're not going to get hurt, okay? But I don't have to carry an offense, move into judgment, right? Which we said was the opposite of compassion and love. So I'm still responsible to heal. I'm responsible to take my wounds to the Lord. I'm responsible to be able to filter what is the lie versus truth, which is why I said in the beginning, we have to be able to hear the voice of the Lord. To know the truth is to set you free. Right? Jesus actually said the first part of that verse, most people don't quote that part. You know, people will say, if you know the truth will set you free. But what he actually said is, if you're truly my disciple, then you'll hold to my teaching. And then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Okay? So truth with a capital T is Jesus, but truth is what God says to be true versus man's opinion. Absolutely right. We need to make sure we're on that. So it is important for us to know the truth so that we can speak the truth. And we'll get there in just a moment. So let's talk about blind spots. I'm the kind of person, and I'm wired in such a way that it is easier, I think, for my particular wiring to be open and transparent because I really want people to give me feedback. I want people, I'm a fixer, so I want people to tell me, what do you see is wrong with me? Let me know. Because then I want to go fix it, okay? Because that is my heart's desire. I want to grow. And I'm black and white when it comes to principle. It's right or wrong. Sometimes it is my opinion and not always God. So I have to work on that. But my desire is to continually grow and be like Christ. And so if anything doesn't look like him, I tend to give people lots of permission to speak into my life, but I also know how to filter really well. Not everybody knows how to filter really well. So to go back to what Tina was saying, we have to be careful about what we say sometimes. Yes, we want to do things in love. We want to do things gently. But sometimes we refrain to tell the truth because we're afraid it's going to hurt their feelings. But I also think you're not loving really well if you don't tell people the truth and don't tell people what you see in their life that needs to be corrected. We are supposed to help bring correction, but it has to be done in love. But here's what I want you to understand. If we always focus on the negative, we're not really speaking what God says to be true because he's not focused on our negative. Okay? So in relationship, people to people, it is okay to grow in a place of intimacy, to be able to give people access to your heart to say, I give you permission to speak into my life. And if you see something off, I already know you and know your heart and know that you love me regardless. So I know how to receive what you say to me well because you've earned that place. And I think it's important for us to speak that to people. I think it's important for you when you find those people that you black and white let them know. I want you to know that I respect you. And I know that you love me, and I know your heart no matter how you say it, even if you say it wrong and horribly. I know that you love me, so I will know how to receive it well, even if it hurts. And I don't think you're loving me well if you don't tell me and you let me stay there. I don't. That's how I see it.
And you also said that there's a time that you don't want to, you know, you love them, but you're waiting for that time. It's not necessarily right away, but so there has to be that time when Holy Spirit says, okay, now it's time.
Yes. I think
it doesn't mean that you don't love him while you're waiting through the process of that time.
That's right. And how you show that love is important, right? I mean, when you're talking about relationally. So yes, there is a timing and a readiness with how you say things, because you know as well as I do that there have been times that you've said something to somebody and they were not ready to hear it, and then all it did was bring conflict. No matter how nice you said it, no matter how soft, they may not have been ready to receive it. And you are throwing pearls before swine, is what Scripture says. So We have to guard those pearls of wisdom, that treasure, and ask the Lord, am I to say something or not about this? Especially if we're trying to bring correction, or you know that there's a possibility that they're going to receive it in such a way that might be painful. I think we are supposed to guard people's heart and help on some level, but that's why you have to be able to know, God, is this even my business? A. And if it's a revelation that you're given to me and something, and it does impact my relationship, and this is interfering with our closeness, then help me to be able to know, A, how to pray, and B, when the right time is to say something to that person. Because I want to make sure that it's received well, but I also have to maintain relationship. I have to still show love to that person regardless. Remember, and I got to stay out of judgment if I'm going to stay in compassion. But I also stay in the relationship and I continue to pursue so that I gain the trust and the access to that person's heart, where I'm consistent in their life, where I earn the ability to be able to let them know, you know that I love you, right? So I have some difficult things I want to share, and here's how I want to share that. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've talked about confrontation. Most people, when they hear that word, they run. Most people don't like the word confrontation because it sounds like I'm picking a fight. So we'll call it feedback. Okay? So when I need to give someone feedback, I say that. Now, I train people enough that sometimes you do get a little guarded still, and you go, oh, feedback, okay. Yeah, especially from like me, you know. So some of us are a little bolder and more blunt. It takes a little bit more time for us to learn tact, you know. But you'll know you always get the truth from me. It's just we need to make sure it comes in love, right? So it's important that we let people know, we preface our statements by being able to say, I love you. My heart is for you and not against you. I feel like the Lord has something that I'm to share, and it may be a difficult thing. Are you open and ready for me to hear it? And they may not be. And if they say no, then okay. Okay? But when you're in this, I'm talking about bringing correction or giving feedback that may be negative. But what I would say to people is, listen, I care about you so much that you affect my life. And so I need to let you know how you have affected me. So when you did this thing or said this thing, or when you didn't do this, when you said you would, or you said, or whatever it is, right? When you fill in the blank, whatever the situation is. And then you're going to use I statements, communication 101. I think this. I felt this. I would like this, my request. I intend to do this, my part of the solution. Okay, so if I'm talking to my kids, when you leave your clothes in the middle of the floor, I think, my opinion, and I'll say that sometimes, my opinion, it's just my opinion, doesn't mean I'm right. You don't have to ever agree with me, by the way, either. So I think you're being lazy. I think you're not taking care of your property and your clothes, and I feel a little angry about that, a little annoyed, maybe a little sad. Maybe a little scared even. So I would like for you to put all your clothes in the hamper where they belong. And I intend to only do the laundry that makes it in the hamper. So if you don't have clean socks, that's not my fault. Just saying, right? So hopefully they're able to say thank you. And then, of course, I always ask, because reflective listening is good communication, so what did you hear me say? Now, if they say, well, you just think I'm a slob. Nope, that's not what I said. Isn't that what we do when we have communication issues with people? Right? Okay, that's not what I said. I'm not lying. That's not. Listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth, right? So let's try again. What did I say? I need to put my clothes in the dirty clothes. Yes, and if I don't, what's going to happen? You won't do the laundry. That's right. So if you don't have clean socks, what's going to happen? I guess I'm wearing flip-flops. That's right. Okay, so that's clear communication. But I want you to understand that we started with the desire of me trying to communicate my love for them first, and that I have access. Now, of course, these are my kids. It's a completely different thing, and I'm talking about a peer, right? Or even someone that I don't know really well, you know? Maybe I don't know that they know how much I care about them, and I think they're a friend, and they think I'm an acquaintance. Been there, done that one, too, right? So, again, doing as much communication on the front end to be able to say, I'm trying to be honest with you about my perception. My perception might be my truth. It may not be your truth, and it may not even be the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when we're talking about relation perception, that's a little bit different than when we're talking about black and white truth from God. Are you hearing me? Yes? This means yes? Okay, good. So, again, to be honest, to be truthful, yes, it may be that as you build relationship with people, you might talk about how they've affected you, and it may tend to seem like it's a negative, that we're focusing on a negative. But like I said, if it's a blind spot that is really going to help them grow, I mean, it's a question that you got to ask, like, what's the purpose of me even sharing this? It's a good question to ask. Like, is it going to do any good? Now, and I don't mean go into despair, like, it's not going to do any good anyway. I'm not talking about that. I'm asking, like, logistically, will it do good for you to tell them this? What good can come from it might be another way to say that, right? Like, hopefully, there's a reason, not just to make them feel bad or to dump on somebody or whatever, right? Okay, so the hope is that it's about helping them grow. It's about wanting them to grow. But I'm going to tell you a better way. Because God does not focus on the negative. He's not working on your sin. He already dealt with it. He's not working on your sin. So even when we're doing this whole character study, I've tried to be really careful, as much as I've had to talk about the negative, because I know our brain goes there. I'm trying to emphasize the positive, right? And when we talked about compassion, what compassion looks like, we got to see it from a different angle. Okay, we got to talk about judgment. Well, what's our focus? We want to be compassionate. We want to be loving. Same thing with pride versus humility, right? I don't want us navel gazing and constantly talking about pride and, oh, I've done so horrible. And no, we want to talk about what does humility look like? Right? So that's our focus. And that's what God does. So I'm going to look up a scripture here in Colossians 3. Where is it? Yeah. Okay. So before I read that, Colossians 3, if you want to go there, just a quick review. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about honesty versus lies or deception. So honesty means to be truthful, full of truth, not lying, that we don't deceive, we don't hold back helpful knowledge, but we're not talking about the negative. That is not our focus. What we're going to be talking about is the positive. Why? Because that's what God does. When he says, speak the truth in love, he's not saying, hey, I love you so much, let me correct this sin in your life or tell you that you have this sin or point out this sin. That's why when we do prophetic ministry, we don't focus on someone's sin or calling people out. That is not prophetic ministry, in my opinion. It's not. Okay? Because God is no longer dealing with that. That is Old Testament. It is not New Testament. He dealt with every sin issue on Jesus on the cross. So he's not focused on that. But what do we do in our humanness? Oh, I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. Whew, wasn't for Jesus, man. You know? Thank you, Jesus. But we stay in that place. No, we move in our kingdom identity by saying, I am no longer a sinner saved by grace. That is no longer my identity. Regardless if I think some of those behaviors are still struggles and things that I can slip into, that is not my focus, because that is my old man and not my new man. And God is not working on my old man. He's working on my new man. The old has gone and the new has come, right? You're a new creation. You know, the word creation means a completely different creature, a different being. Completely different. We're no longer a body, you know, that could house a spirit, but we're a spirit with a body. We are transformed, completely changed, like caterpillar to butterfly. There's no going back, right? Like cucumber to pickle. There's no way to change it back, you know. I don't know. Maybe there is if you soak it in water. I have no idea. But it's not going to taste like a cucumber ever again, right? It'll just be mushy and not vinegary. I don't know. I'm getting off topic. Okay, so God, when he says, speak the truth in love, what he's meaning is say what I say. Say what I say. Now, some people will still say, but God says this is wrong. And I get that. Listen, I get it. Okay, but what's the best way? The best way is to be able to say, here's the truth. Here's who you really are. Here's what God is focused on. Here's your identity in Christ. Here's how he sees you right now. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he was Papa with a wallet, he'd have your picture in there and he'd be showing you off to all the angels. Like, that is your identity. He's not working on your negative. The more we focus on the negative, what's our focus? The negative. And we're no longer thinking about the positive. So when we think about not just deception and lies, like, oh no, I want to be completely honest. So, you know, now I'm focusing on all the little white lies or all the little ways that I might. No, we're just going to talk about honesty, being open, being truthful, being honorable, being an integrist, doing what I say I'm going to do, following through with my character, right? So here's what God says. Technically, here's what Paul says. Colossians 3. I'm just going to start with verse 1. Therefore, if, there's a big if, you have been raised up with Christ, Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking, notice the ing, keep seeking, seeking and keep seeking and seeking. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. I'm just going to pause right there. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is. It's kind of like when Christina said, well, that doesn't exist in heaven, so we're going to say heaven come, because heaven belongs here. So keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above. Pause. Set your mind. Set it and forget it. Those old infomercials, right? Set it and forget it. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Do you ever hear that lie that says, don't be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good? That's just phooey. It's just garbage. I'm like, no. I don't even have to say anything else, but no. So backwards. All right, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have what? Died. For you have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. When did you die? You were co-crucified with Christ, dead and raised up with him. You were co-crucified, co-buried, co-raised up. That's in Galatians somewhere, right? So, I think. So you were co-crucified. So that's when you died. The minute you said yes to Jesus, you died. Your old self died. And that's when God stopped talking about, thinking about, and looking at your old man. Period. The minute Jesus died, boom, he paid for it all. And the minute you said yes, that's when you applied it to your life. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So you're with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, period. Let's just pause there for a second. When Christ, who is our life, is he your life? When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, a lot of people will look at that and think, well, when Jesus comes back, right? I don't think that's what that means. Why? Because you died and your life, so now you're alive, right? We're not literally dead. We were spiritually dead. Our old man died, and now I'm in my new man, and my new man is alive, and I'm alive in Christ, right? So when Christ, who's our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Glory is not heaven. Glory is the presence of God, okay? The manifest presence of God. So when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when is Christ revealed? Through you, as you get to know him and display him and you show his character. When Christ is revealed to you by revelation and through you. Okay, so when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to what? Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which all amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Now, let me back up. For it's because of these things that the wrath of God will come. Oops. Sorry, my Bible's being funny. Here we go. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. Now, when were you living in them? The old man. Okay, so sons of disobedience are walking in the old man. Okay, we are no longer sons of disobedience when we become new in Christ. We are sons of God, not sons of disobedience, right? So that's when the transfer takes place. So, the wrath of God came when? Upon Christ, right? Let's think about this for a second. If Christ died for all sin, did he die for all things? Okay, so Christ on the cross took everything. Everything upon him. He took the fullness of the wrath of God on him. So when we say yes to Christ, we no longer have any wrath toward us. Do you understand? There is no longer judgment toward us outside of in our favor. When you go before a court and a judge says, I judge in your favor, the judgment that we will receive is not according to our sin. It will be according to you're a son, you're mine, here's your favor, you win. That's the judgment that we will see on Judgment Day. That's the judgment that's been given. The minute we said yes to Jesus, the minute we died to ourselves, the minute we co-crucified with Christ, when we said yes to that invitation, all of that was paid for on the cross by Jesus. So, is God angry? No. Why? Because all of his anger and wrath was on Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. So there's none left for me and you. Okay? But those who don't receive that, it is available for when the judgment day comes. The judgment day is yet to come, right? We understand that. So he's patiently waiting for all to come to him. That's why we're not to be in judgment. That's why we're not supposed to judge. That's why we don't hold picket signs and say, turn or burn. That's why that's not the message of the kingdom. Because God has compassion and there's an invitation that's available and he's patiently waiting and waiting and waiting for everyone to have the opportunity to come to know him. Because all they have to do is say yes and they get to apply what Jesus paid for. And they're no longer sons of disobedience, but now they're sons of God. Okay? That's our inheritance, y'all. That's our inheritance. So, let's see, verse 8. But now you also put them all aside. What is he saying put aside? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. The power of the tongue speaks life or death, and he who speaks it will eat its fruit. Proverbs. Okay, so honesty. To speak honest words. It says, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed. Being renewed means it's continually happening. You are being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all, period. No separation, no favoritism, no division. Okay? One with him, one with God. Having put on the new self who is being renewed. So we already have Jesus. We're learning how to renew and reveal him. That's the process of life, the process of sanctification, if you will. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on what? A heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. He's our example. Jesus is our perfect theology. Verse 14. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That means it's above all things. Peace above all things. To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Dwell is to tabernacle, to maintain, to consistently live in. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness into your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Amen. Okay, so to speak the truth in love is to say what God says. And I'm not talking about calling out sin, because he's not focused on it anymore. He already died for it all, so he's like, what you talking about? What you talking about, Willis, that old little TV show, right? What you talking about? He doesn't understand what you're even talking about, because that's not his focus. His focus is on who you are and your identity in God and the truth of God. What he is saying over you on a regular basis is what prophetic ministry is supposed to be all about. So in the last 20 minutes or so, we are going to practice the prophetic, because what we do when we speak encouraging words, when we speak life, and especially when we speak what we hear God saying, even if it's a scripture that comes to mind, you prophesy scripture all day long. If you have there's a promise in there, it's for all of us, right? So you prophesy the scripture, whatever God gives you a word, it may be an actual scripture. It doesn't have to be, you know, what it looks like anything else, whatever you think prophetic ministry looks like. It's what do you hear the Father saying about that person? Okay, it may give you a word of knowledge or whatever, a word of encouragement. And it's not just something that you make up. It's about what do you hear the Father saying? But it's a truth with a capital T when Jesus is the one that comes and releases that, right? When the Holy Spirit gives that knowledge to you about a person and you edify, exhort, and give comfort. That's speaking the truth in love. So if we're going to grow in the character of Christ, to have kingdom characters, to be honest, to be honorable, to be open and transparent, yet with some healthy boundaries, remember, okay? So we are honorable and above reproach, but we also, to be honest, means we're going to be prophesying other people, because we speak the truth in love, and we need to let people know the good news of Christ and who they are in him, so we're going to practice that, okay? So I'm just going to pray. Yeah.
Mary, off of what she said earlier with opinions, when she said that the Holy Spirit just gave me two scriptures, that only fools delight in airing their own opinion, and that as believers, when we walk in the character of Christ, what we are to do is to, when God says to seek godly counsel, you know, godly wisdom, not opinions, kind of going back to what you were saying, where we have to set boundaries, is don't look for, you know, it's different. You know, it's a different dynamic when we're dealing with, you know, believer to believer, as opposed to believer to, you know, someone in the workplace. Maybe that's not saved. We might be able to ask them, you know, what is your opinion about this? What do you think? But when we go to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to go looking for godly counsel and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit just gave me the parable of the seeds, like the kingdom, you know, some fell on stony ground. And something that I've always, not always, I've started doing over the past maybe 2 years, is when I see something in a brother or sister in Christ, is I pray for God to soften their heart to receive the word, because, you know, it's hard to penetrate that offended heart. And kind of going back to what you were saying about timing. And it just, when you brought up about people giving their opinions, it was like that scripture just popped into my head, you know, that we need to guard ourselves against people that are opinionated, because many times they're not going to be walking in wisdom.
Right. And the other thing to think is this, though. Here's the thing. God may give you words of knowledge of negative things or of sin in people's life. That doesn't mean you say it. It's got to be said the way he would say it. Is he saying that? No. So if I get a word of knowledge that someone is a proverbial liar, that they're struggling with pornography or whatever it is, all right, Father, what do you say about that? I'm going to want to say, you are a man of truth, and you are wired by God to be able to be a revealer of truth and a man who's going to stand for truth and someone who's, do you hear what I'm saying? Because that's what God says he is. That is what you call out. You call out the gold in people, not the dirt in people, right? That is prophetic ministry 101. If you haven't been in my training, that's online or whatever. But that's what prophetic ministry is hearing the voice of the Lord and calling out the best in who they are. It is not about calling out the negative thing that you see, okay? It's always going to upgrade people. It's going to take them up to another place. Why? Because most people are pretty negative anyway, and we always believe the worst. You can't tell me any worse thing about me than I already know. If you're just going to point out a negative in my life, you haven't really helped raise me up into something else. What I need to know is the revelation of how God sees me over and over and over and over and over again. I need words of affirmation. I need to be able to know what the heart of the Father is saying about me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, that is speaking the truth in love. That's what that means. We don't call out the sin. We call out who they really are.
So those are hidden shames. And so you would say the positive of what God would say. You wouldn't even bring up the negative. How do you think the Lord works in them? Because a lot of us, you know, we still have work in us to do. That the Lord has for us, and a lot of it is hidden shame. So how do you think that the Lord works on that when you're just speaking life? Is that it? Life, 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 and they know the hidden, you know what I'm saying?
Let me answer and ask you if this answers your question of what you're trying to say. In my opinion, how I would define shame based on what I know in the garden took place, because what entered when man fell, right? As soon as they sinned, what entered was fear and shame. Fear, they hid from God. Shame, they covered themselves up, right? So shame attacks our identity. It's about worth and value. When you feel shame, you feel worthless. Your value has just dropped, okay? So it attacks our very identity. That is not humility. That's completely different, right? So when you have shame, I'm sorry? Yeah, humiliated is the word we use, but it's another word for the shame means I feel less than, okay? So they who were created in the very image of God was lied to and say, oh, you're not really like God. You eat of this fruit and you'll be like God. But what did God say? Let us make man in our image. So they were already created. So they were remade in the image of God. That was part of the lie, right? So then when they ate of the knowledge of good and evil, now they know what just happened. They didn't all of a sudden get new information. Now they have the ability to be able to judge good and evil when they were never supposed to have eaten of that fruit. We got to spit that one out, right? That's why we get out of judgment. So we're supposed to have life, not good and evil. Not where we stand in good and evil. So when we have shame, when shame comes up as an emotion, when we start to feel less than, if I have a prophetic word, it will always call my identity up higher. Always. Because it's going to say who I really am in God and what I'm capable of doing. So my focus is not on the shame, because remember, he's not trying to fix my shame. He's trying to help me believe by faith my real identity. So the more I focus on my real identity, really? My real identity is this, and I start growing in faith that, oh, I'm going to do this, and I'm capable of this, and this is how God sees me. And the more I believe that, it takes care of everything else. I don't have to keep focusing, well, I just got so much work to do. You know, I've just been through so much stuff in my life. I've got all this trauma and all this stuff. Listen, I'm a therapist. It's what I do on a regular basis. I deal with people in this all the time. And the biggest transition that will ever take place is not me working on your emotions and working on your thoughts and working on your behaviors. It is working on your belief system. Because you will live what you believe about things, not about what you think, not about how you feel, and not about how you behave. Is that stuff we've got to work on? Sure. But guess what? That is not what God's working on. If I have a believer in my room, I am always going to focus on your belief set. What do you really say that you believe? And let's compare that to how you're living. It doesn't mean we don't take care of soul wounds. It doesn't mean that we don't need healing and forgiveness and those kinds of things. But you're always going to address the belief system. And so I'm not working on shame. You might identify it. You might feel shame. You might have that. But the minute you get an encounter with God who says, there's no such thing as shame on you because you're mine. And this is who you really are. And this is what you're capable of. And I have an expectation, or the expectancy, as we talked about earlier, God's expectation, right, is this is who you really are. And this is how you're to live, because look at what everything I paid for so that you can do that. And this is who you are. So believe it. What does Scripture say? As a man thinks, so shall he be. It's not just thought. Listen, here's an example, and I don't want to take up too much time on this, but this is a really important subject, and am I answering your question? Okay, good. So my point is this. We have to believe the way God believes. If we have the mind of Christ, that means we're capable of it, okay? Now, if I ask you a question, I may have posed this before on a Wednesday night. Forgive me if I have. If it's new to you, good. So if I say to my clients often, okay, just as an example, let's say 100 people are going to come walking in. First, let me ask the question, are you male or female? Make sure you know. Everybody knows for sure, 100%. Like there's no doubt or question, you know, your gender. My definition of gender is your body parts is in one category or the other. I know that there's confusion about that in the world, but it's that black and white for me, okay? Now, if you know your gender, absolute truth, there's no shadow of a doubt, and I bring in 100 people to sit there and say, Darcy, you're a boy. JD, you're a girl. 100 people. Is it true the first time? No. Is it true the second time? No. Is it true the 10th time, 50th time, 100th time? No, it's not true. How do you know it's not true? You recognize a lie because you know the truth first, right? You have facts, have the body parts, like I just said. So 100 people can come in and tell you the exact opposite, and you know that you know that you know that you know. I know that I know that I know that I'm a girl. I don't care how many people come in the room, it's not going to change what I believe about myself because I know. I don't just think I'm a girl. I know I'm a girl. Now, if I just think I'm a girl, 100 people coming in might sway me. Guess what's happening in the world? Well, you know, you're a boy, but you're a little effeminate. As if boys can't be that. Oh, girls, you know, you're a little rough and tough tomboy, so. That's not what defines gender. I'll get off my soapbox. But my point is this. If you know the truth, you will recognize the lie when it comes. That's why we saturate ourselves with the truth in the Word of God, that we see things the way He sees them, that we know His heart in the Word as well, so that we see with those eyes of love, okay? So when we know that we know that we know 100 people that might come in, guess what? You might have your feelings hurt. I know that some of you, and you don't have to raise your hand in the room, but I've had this happen in my office. Well, some people would say, well, I don't know. I'd be a little confused because, like, well, I know the truth, but, like, why would 100 people say that? And I always say, and especially, like, just say some of them are your family members and your closest friends coming in, too. They're not just strangers. Well, I give them a lot of power to influence me. I respect their opinion, and they have access to my heart, right? So I'm supposed to be able to trust what they say. Well, why don't you just laugh it off because you know the truth? Like, that's ridiculousness. What did Cindy pay you? Why are you lying? I don't get it. Okay, some people get so upset emotionally that they get offended. They want to punch the people that are saying you're a boy or girl or whatever it is, right? And you might get a little annoyed. It might get a little frustrating. Guess what? Your feelings aren't fact. They will change and move all the time. We don't base our decisions or our truth based on our emotion. That doesn't mean we ignore our emotion. Okay, but it's still not round. That's not truth. Now, if 100 people came in and they sat in the chair and they said, you are amazing, you are beautiful, you are so smart, you are so capable, you are so full of life, and you bring life every time you come into the room, like, I love you so much, and your heart of compassion, and you're so giving, and you're so generous, and oh my gosh, you're so attractive. How many people, don't raise your hand, how many people will you let say it? To you. Let's say they all have the same script. The same, they're going to say the same thing. You're beautiful. You are amazing. Oh my gosh, you're just incredible. You're so kind. You're so loving. You are so capable. Gosh, I just admire you so much. If one person said it, I hope that we would go, oh, that feels so good. Thank you. And we would rub it in. Everybody put your hand on your heart and do that just for a second. We always do that. I always rub it in, rub it in. When you get a compliment, rub it in. Why? Because we don't always like to receive them. So how many people will it take before you start to say, okay, that's enough? 2 people, 3 people, 5 people, 10 people? Most people in my office stop somewhere between 1 and 5. Some will say 10 just because it's a round number, I think. But to be honest, if you kept hearing the same thing from somebody, so it's the truth, by the way, you're awesome, you're amazing, you're beautiful, you're so talented, so gifted. Over and over and over and over and over. If it's the truth, why do we do this? Okay, that's enough. What does it do? It stirs up what we really believe deep in our heart. So a lie that is believed becomes our truth. So it's going to stir it up. Because then what am I going to start doing? I'm going to start thinking about, you call me beautiful. I'm going to be like, yeah, you don't know that I got some stretch marks in places. I've had a couple children. I don't show you my cellulite on purpose, right? Like you, like no. Oh, or you, you don't know some of the things that I've done. I haven't shared those things. So yeah, I'm not really that amazing or that great. Mm-mm. Exactly. That's the hidden shame. But what is it? It's a lie that I have believed because it is not my identity. It's not how God defines me, ever. But what happens is, as truth comes, it stirs that stuff up. Okay? So, if God's going to say it, we need to do this. Oh, more. Give me more. I receive it. I rub it in. God, help me to believe that truth, to see me the way you see me. It's like a picture, if I can give you a visual picture. If I had a, let's say I had a flower vase of water, okay, or a pitcher of water. And let's say at the very bottom, there's like an inch of dirt. And the dirt's all settled. It's there at the bottom. So the water above that looks crystal clear, right? But if I got a pitcher of crystal clear water and I start pouring it into the vase, what's going to happen? Stirs it all up. And then all of a sudden, all we're thinking about is how horrible and dirty and all that stuff that we are, right? But if I kept letting that crystal clear water come in and in and in, what's going to happen? It's going to start leaking out. It's going to start getting rid of all that dirty water. And eventually, all I'm going to have is clean water. So the only way that we change our insides is by receiving what God says, crystal clear water, crystal clear truth, by receiving that over and over, which is why prophetic ministry is my favorite thing in the whole world, because we are saying what God is saying over and over and over. And especially if I get words of knowledge, there is no way I should know about you. Why? Because then you know that that's God. Even an unbeliever knows that. How in the world did you know that stuff? How in the world could you say that thing right in the moment when I need to say it? Because of God. That's why every single person, every believer, has got to be able to know that they hear God. You do hear God. How do I know that? You said yes. Sometime along the way, you said yes to him. You heard him and you said yes. So I know you can hear him because you heard him at least once to say yes. Period. It's true. So we have to continue to grow in our intimacy and our relationship with the Lord so that we hear his voice, so that we say what he says. Because if I'm going to see me the way God sees me, then I got to really make sure that the God that I know is really the true God and the God of the Word. He's a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of grace, a God of mercy. Yes, there's judgment, but judgment already happened on Jesus. He's not hanging out there for me. He's focused on my good. He's focused on who he made me to be. Christ in me, the hope of my glory. Okay? Not anything that I can do that man would boast, but because of what Christ did. But because I said yes to him, I get to walk that out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's my identity. So God's not working on our shame. He's working on our identity, our true nature, our true identity in him. And that's what we've got to hear over and over and over again in order to believe it. Why? Because we forget. I mean, look at Israel all through the Old Testament, constantly forgot God, right? Even after all the miracles and everything else, constantly forgot who he was, how he was, or whatever. Why? Because they ate of that darn knowledge of good and evil, constantly trying to discern and judge for themselves what's good and what's not, as if we are to judge even ourselves as good or not. Are you following me? Okay, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to release words of knowledge, to release an increased ability of our ability to hear him, and we're going to do a couple of exercises. I won't be on the recording, so we can be free to practice and fail all we want to, because it's okay that we work on it. We got to grow in hearing God. So, Father, I thank you so much for your heart. Father, you're a good Father, and I ask, God, that if there is a tainting in our vision of you, Father, that you would deal with that, Lord, that you would help bring healing, clarity, that you would give us, Lord, an understanding of your heart, Father, and how good it is and how you are for us and not against us, that there's no judgment, no anger that you see through us any longer, because Jesus took all of that away. But what you see is Christ in us. So you see us, your kids, you see your son. So Father, I ask that you release right now a greater measure of faith, God, that you release right now gifts in the room, and especially, God, that we hear your voice, that we're able to discern your voice in your heart. Lord, through words of knowledge, through prophecy, Lord, through words of wisdom, faith, God, that you come and you release words of knowledge for healing, just whatever that is, God, that you open our eyes to see in the Spirit and our ears to hear, God. That you would give us boldness, Father, to step out and to try, Lord, that we take a risk of faith so that we can learn how you talk to us and how you want us to speak over one another to edify, exhort, and encourage. Jesus, I thank you for everything that you did on the cross, that everything that you paid for. Jesus, we want to see you get the fullness of your reward that is due you, and that is every person that we can bring to you. We give you our hearts, God. We give you our lives, for you are our life, Jesus. Lord, we want to look just like you. Thank you for your example. Thank you for coming and showing us the way. Thank you for helping us to see and understand that you are perfect theology, and everything that you did, Jesus, that you're inviting us to do as well, that we do it with you. And we thank you for that. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are always here and always available, that you live and dwell within us, that there's nowhere we can go that you're not there, that we take you everywhere. You are in us, that you who are in us, greater is he that is in us than he who is in the world, that there is no junior Holy Spirit, a lesser than, or a growing, or trying to be like. No, you're in us, God. The fullness of God is within us the minute we said yes to you. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. And I thank you that you are a giver of great gifts. I thank you, Lord, that despite all the gifts, you said to eagerly seek after the gifts. So we are seeking, Holy Spirit, and we are thankful, and we receive however you want to release it right now. Would you release an impartation of a greater measure of our understanding of that? But God, would you do the growth in our character above all other things. I thank you that you have the wisdom to know how to give and what to give according to our faith and according to what we're ready for, that we would have the character to uphold the gifts that you give. And that's my prayer, God. Help us to be people of honesty, who are honorable, who have integrity, who are faithful, who follow through with what we say we're going to do, that we could be dependent on, and that we would display Jesus well. I thank you. We receive you, Holy Spirit. Come. Thank you, Lord. We open up our hearts, our minds, our lives to you. We receive you. We want more, God. More of you. And we love you, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. All right.